Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to the phone lines as I await my guest, and let's bring Lori on. Good morning, Lori. How are you?
Hello.
Oh, yes, sir.
Right away.
Yes.
Actually, my name is Paul.
Paul. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. That's a first-time caller to your show.
Thank you.
I noticed that you were talking about unity, if we can all get along together. The country is divided. There's no doubt about it. Well, man. I have to believe social media is a big problem with this.
No question.
You know, we are allowed to have separate opinions. You know, I totally get that. And I understand that this show, leans to the left. My question was, I don't know if it's off topic or not because I just tuned in, but I wanted to know how the Inflation Reduction Act was going to actually reduce inflation, because I'm a little confused.
So it is off topic, but I'll answer it anyway to the best of my ability.
Sure.
Certainly something needs to be done. Inflation is a problem in our society, but it's one of many other things that are perplexing to us. And so we can talk about inflation and whether or not that can be fixed. I'm old enough to remember a time when inflation was almost at 22% under Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter, or interest rates were 22%. We'll get over it. And I think there are many other pressing issues in our society, and as divided as we are, and inflation is in there somewhere. But when there are threats that are being made to overthrow the government, I think inflation pales in comparison to that, don't you?
Speaking of overthrowing the government, during the summer of 2020, now correct me if I'm wrong, didn't we have several cities,
I'm not sure.
Including Kenosha, in our own state, riots, burning down in Portland, Oregon. They took over entire blocks of cities and called them sanctuaries or whatever term they used. I could go on and on and on where there were so-called peaceful protests.
You want me to tell you the difference?
And then we'll get back to January 6th.
You want me to tell you the difference?
Sure.
Okay, well, trying to overthrow a government is not in the same vein as people disagreeing and having some issues and burning some businesses in the city. If you can't see that attempting to overthrow
businesses down,
sir, if you can't see the difference between trying to overthrow a government and threatening to hang the Vice President of the United States in destroying the Capitol and beating and abusing law enforcement, and you somehow see that in the same vein as some businesses being burnt, I don't know what else I can tell you.
Some businesses, wasn't it a few summers ago where it was defund the police?
Yeah, but sir, again, I don't see.
What about threatening Supreme Court justices?
Well,
a man showing up outside this man's house with his family in there with loaded weapons.
So my response to that my response to that would be that's one man, not a mob of people.
One man.
Okay. So we can't control what individuals can do, but we certainly should be. One individual is hard to control. But when there's a mob of people who can cause...
Burning your neighborhood down. Yeah.
Sir.
So you think that's a... It wasn't just businesses burning.
Sir.
It was apartment buildings.
I know, but sir, how can you equate that with the beating of law enforcement officers and all of the damage that they did to the Capitol building and the threats to our elected officials to commit bodily harm?
Wouldn't you say mob violence? Wouldn't you say that mob violence is a form of trying to overthrow the government?
Sir,
when you're burning down neighborhoods?
Sir,
how many millions of dollars?
I was in Kenosha the day after the riots, and I spent some time there doing my shows live. I saw it, right? So they didn't burn down.
That's just Kenosha.
So, sir, let's be clear. We talk about burning down Kenosha. They didn't burn down Kenosha.
Yeah.
Okay?
They burned down the car dealership?
Yeah, but sir.
Down.
Sir.
That guy was Arab.
I know,
they
but sir.
Cars from him.
Sir, there is no comparison with what happened in Kenosha to what happened in Washington, D.C. I don't see how you can't.
What about what happened in Minneapolis? In Chicago?
No comparison. No comparison.
No comparison when you have lawlessness. Uncontrolled lawlessness.
Was that uncontrolled lawlessness in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so.
What's the difference?
There's a major difference. I wish I had more time, but I got to run. Thank you for listening. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I know you couldn't answer that.
I've got a guess. Because I've got a guess. Sir, I have a guess. Thank you very much for the call. Listen, I wish I had time. Let's go to my guess.
But you don't want to answer the question because you can't answer it.
Hey, Connor, I've got a guess. Let's go to my guess. I wish you called back sometime when I don't have a guess. Anyway, my guess is Mr. Stephen Willifort. Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm trying to...
I was, which, by the way, that was a very interesting conversation that you were having, because you said you were in Kenosha while I was in D.C. on January 6th. I was speaking.
So I
can tell you that it was very rare that people, out of the people that were there in D.C., there were very, very few of them that even went into the Capitol. And then the ones that did go, and then the ones that did go into the Capitol were actually, they opened the doors for them. I saw that they allowed, they picked up barricades and they opened the doors and they could go in peacefully.
Well.
And for the most part, those people went in peacefully. And then a Capitol guard shot and killed an innocent woman.
Well, sir, we can only have a fair dialogue if it's based on facts and truth. And that was not an innocent, sir. That was not an innocent woman, sir. That was not an innocent woman. She came through a window that she was told not to breach. In the midst of doors.
No, she was shot through a window.
No, sir.
She walked in.
Sir.
And again, the doors that she breached.
Sir.
The doors that she breached. I saw them. They opened them up and they allowed people in.
Sir.
Again, I didn't go into the Capitol, but I was there and I saw.
Okay, sir. So
you said you were in Kenosha. I was in D.C.
Okay, sir.
I saw that.
So, sir. So you or no one else who was there is going to be able to tell me and hundreds of millions of Americans who witnessed on television with our own eyes that was some peaceful gathering of people who did not do much harm and only a handful of people, did something wrong.
No problem.
You know, last time
yeah,
I checked, last time I checked, there are over 800 people who have been criminally charged, and that number is increasing with what happened on January 6th. I guess you could say that those people have all been, mistreated and locked up.
Yeah, there are people, there are military, former military, that have been arrested.
Who created criminal acts? Who created criminal acts?
And they are being held with no bond or anything. I interviewed one of them for my show.
So, sir. Again,
they didn't even enter the Capitol. The FBI wanted him to testify against everybody else, and when he said he would not do it, they came and arrested him.
So why do you and others who were present at what took place on January 6th think that you should get some different kind of treatment than people who you and others claim what they did in Minnesota or what they did in Kenosha? Do you think for 1 minute that law enforcement didn't question them? Do you think that law enforcement didn't handle them in any different manner than what they did with those in Washington, D.C.? As a matter of fact, there are people who will tell you that the people in Washington, D.C. got special treatment compared to what we've seen, in other unrest.
The other unrest, if you will, they were released with no bond.
Because they did not attack the United States Capitol.
You weren't there. You didn't see them opening up the barricades and saying, come in.
So what I do
you
know...
You weren't there when you see them. The videos were there.
Sir.
When they opened the doors
There were law enforcement officials who agreed with that and some who opened the door who were a part of it, who now have been prosecuted for doing that. So, yes, that doesn't make it right.
Not the law enforcement, no.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Stephen Willeford. And you and I were going to talk about guns anyway. So,
I have to say right now that I am sponsored by Gun Owners of America. Go to gunowners.org. Please sign up and get in the fight for our gun rights.
So let me say this, and you were a person who had a gun during an assault. Let's talk a little bit about that so we can get that background out of the way. Let's talk about what you were a vigilante who were able to stop.
Not a vigilante. I am a good citizen.
Okay.
Don't call me something that I'm not.
Sir.
Okay? When your community is being attacked, well, don't get some sort of a negative connotation to what
sir,
I did.
Sir.
When you're a good citizen and you belong to a community,
sir,
that I loved, and someone was murdering people, and I went over and engaged him. That's not a vigilante.
That is a vigilante.
That's a good citizen.
Well,
no,
listen.
That's a good citizen.
Listen, sir. I don't own a gun. Okay?
So you and would two, do nothing. Let me, you let would me, do while your community has been murdered.
Sir, you're on my program. I'm trying to give you a fair opportunity to have a dialogue
with
you.
Then don't insult me.
Well, let me say this to you. 2/3 of the American people don't own guns. So you are one. You represent 1/3 of the population that own guns, and we're not going to let you define.
Wrong.
You're not going to let. I'm not going to let you define what a good citizen is. and the other two-thirds of us who don't own guns, we'll determine who's a good citizen. Oh, what percentage of the American people own guns, then, sir, if I'm so wrong? You give me what it is.
I would say at least 75%.
So now
and,
I know.
Hold on a second.
Connor, can you do me a favor? Can you look up what percentage of the American people own guns? Sir, you are a gun owner who is so far off the base.
A lot of you guys, a lot of the gun owners don't admit they own guns because they don't want the government coming to their door.
Sir.
So whatever stat that you find on your liberal website.
It's not a liberal website,
Gallup.
Sir.
It's Gallup.
Is Gallup a liberal website?
They're pretty bipartisan.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, they do. Oh, so anything other than Fox News?
I can do Pew Research Center.
Yeah.
And Gallup says 30, about 32%, and 40, 30 to 44% about.
And how many
somewhere from like 30 to 44%.
Do we know what? What are you saying, sir?
The CDC contracted out by Barack Obama did research, and they said up to 3 million times a year. Up to 3 million times a year, people use guns for defensive purposes to save lives.
Sir.
And that's CDC, a lot of, the Center for Disease.
Sir, let me say this to you, sir. In the United States of America, more people are murdered by guns than all the rest of the world combined. So I'm not going to let you.
That is incorrect, too. Did you know that in the developed world, we're 66th on the list of developed world with gun murders?
Sir, listen, I don't even know.
And this isn't.
Sir, I don't even know how we are going to have. I don't even know how we're going to have a conversation. If I'm going to let a guy who is a guest of my show dictate to me on what we're going to talk about, when, and that you are going to somehow control this conversation. You are a guest on the Earl Ingram show. I'm not a guest on Stephen Williford's show. So let's.
Walk into your house and you insult me right away, calling me a vigilante, and then you come up with bogus numbers,
sir,
you can click me off anytime you like.
Let me say this to you.
You are welcome to your opinion, but you aren't welcome to your own facts.
So I can't have a conversation with this gentleman. I tried, and it is at the root of why we are in the shape we are in now. America is the number one killing fields with guns in the entire world. It doesn't matter whether you want to say something different or not. There are 400 and some odd million guns in the United States of America. There's only 325 or 350,000 people. So there's a over one gun for every human being in the United States.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm bringing that average up.
And that is absolutely ridiculous. And it is why guns are created to kill people. And so
no, they aren't. They are hunted for sporting purposes and for hunting
handguns are created to kill people.
Yeah, or just living things.
Their handguns are a defensive weapon. They are meant to save lives.
Sir.
They are a defensive weapon.
Sir,
how many of them are in the hands of police officers?
Sir, let me say this to you. I am 68 years of age. I don't own a gun. And I'll go to my grave never owning one. Let's stop acting like everybody in this country has to run around armed with weapons. You and others like I live in a city where murder has gone crazy. But that doesn't
talk to
mean
Eli Dickin about that.
But that doesn't
talk
mean
to Eli Dickin about it.
You said what?
Do you know who Eli Dickin?
I don't know and could care less. Okay.
Okay,
I'm telling
of course,
you.
Because it doesn't fit your narrative.
Sir.
It doesn't fit your narrative.
Sir, what is
Eli
your.
Eli Dickin is
hey,
the guy
I've got to go to a break. Hold
Indiana.
On. Guy, hold on. I've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Stephen Williford. He is representing Gun Owners of America. You know, 45,222 people died of gunshots in America last year. Now, gunshots, murdered. Now, you know, Mr. Williford, you...
No, not all of them are murdered. There's a difference. More than three-quarters of those first are suicides. You know, in Alaska, their preferred way of suicide is on a snowmobile going through the ice in the middle of a frozen lake. So suicide's going to happen,
sir,
gun or not.
Sir, you know, you and I clearly are on different paths when it comes to guns and life and death. And so you and others like you who choose to put the Second Amendment above life.
No, because look at my situation. I saved lives, my brother.
Sir, sir, you are an individual. And so you saved a life or two, you know.
A life or two.
Bravo.
Well,
bravissimo.
You admitted that.
Bravissimo.
Okay, so 3 million times a year someone uses a gun to save a life, like Eli Dickin, who shot the bad guy after he shot and killed two people.
Sir, let me tell you something, sir. Let me tell you something. The bad guys have their hands on guns, too, because they're that easy
and
to get.
And you can't prevent that.
Let me tell you where you can prevent it. You can prevent it by changing the gun laws. Excuse me. And here's what I mean. You or no one else can tell me that it makes sense that if I wanted to go and purchase a gun and I went to a licensed dealer, they would run a background check on me, and then I would have a waiting period. But then I can take that same gun that I went to a licensed dealer to get it from, and they run a background check on me, and I have a waiting period, and then I can sell that gun to anybody without a background check or any of those things. Tell me how that makes sense.
Okay. Are you going to listen to me?
No. Answer my question. Answer my question.
So I am. I'm trying to. Are you going to allow me to answer it?
Sir.
But it's not going to be what you want to hear.
In other words, it's not going to be the truth.
No. The truth is, and if you'll listen to me, the fact is, you know, the drug cartels.
I'm not talking about the drug cartels. I'm asking you, sir. I asked you a legitimate question, and you're telling me about some drug cartels. Is it fact or not? Sir, is it?
There is a law against all purchases. There is a law against you going out and buying a gun to sell to somebody that cannot legally purchase it himself. There is that law.
Sir,
now, can you let me finish? That should take care of that, and that should answer that. Can you let me finish now? I know this is your show, and you can cut me off at any time you want. But if you'll listen to the truth here for a moment and allow me with an open mind.
You don't have an open mind. But go ahead.
The drug cartels When they get busted down on the border, they have full automatic M16s, which an AR-15 is not. They have rocket-propelled grenade launchers when they make bust. I know the presidential advisor for Donald Trump well, and I've spoken to him at great length. He said the drug cartels have these full automatics that they're getting through the black market. The bad guys are going to get the guns anyway. They do in France with full automatic AK-47s. Okay, so here in America, if you could dry up all the guns, let's play the liberal nirvana, which you would love, that if you can get all the guns taken away from the good guys and the bad guys, now there's no crime, right? And the drug cartels buy them through the black market. So let's play the liberal nirvana again, that you can stop the black market from getting any guns to the drug cartels or criminals. The drug cartels have a $500 billion budget that they're spending right now on media and our politicians influencing them. So now we're playing the liberal nirvana. They get away with taking away all your guns, my guns, everybody else's guns in America. They turn around and take $1 billion out of that $500 billion, produce the highest-tech gun manufacturing plant this world has ever seen south of the border. And the Mexicans can't take care of them as it is. They produce their own guns, and they put them back in the hands of everybody they're sending off the border.
Okay, so,
with
sir.
The little green bands.
So I've given you.
They produce.
I've given you an opportunity. Here's what I'll say to you. It's disingenuous of you and anybody like you to refer to the killings and in this nation with guns, with people who have problems with their own families and have easy access to guns, social issues, and are killing one another, and you somehow are trying to make it appear as though most of those killings and most of those guns are from drug cartels. No, they're fathers, they're sisters, they're brothers, they're family members who are dealing with personal issues and take their guns that they own legally and slaughter other people. But for you and others to lead people to believe...
Most of the murders are drug and gang related. It is a very small percentage. When you take the suicides out of it,
don't take the suicides, sir. Don't take the suicides out of it because people are dead. They die from the hand of the gun. So whether it's
it's the gun's fault. That somebody is going to commit suicide.
Let me say this to you, sir.
Now you're trying to take the drug cartels and the drugs and the gangs out of it.
Sir, this old axiom, guns don't kill people, people kill people, is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
People with guns kill people. That's who killed people.
Okay.
So
China. China, a mass murderer in China murdered 33 people with a knife.
Oh, come on, man.
He murdered 33.
Come on. What are the chances?
What are the chances?
What are the chances of one man murdering 33 people with a knife?
Let's do this.
And
you know why he wouldn't have got away with that here? Someone would have shot him before he got those 33
okay,
people
all right.
murdered.
Okay, so hang on a second. Let's bring Bob on. Hey, Bob, how you doing? You have a question or comment?
Well, let me cut to the quick. The basic problem is self-esteem. The self-esteem of individuals. And when I see somebody driving recklessly down the street, he's racing up and down. He has no care for his life or anybody else's. He's not thinking of longevity. He's not thinking he's going to be around for a long time. He has no hope. We need to restore self-esteem and hope in our community. And that will deal a great deal with the gun problem and many of those.
So you don't think the easy accessibility to guns plays any role in all the killings that take place in this country? You don't think that has...
It may well have any position, but if somebody does, if somebody has a good self-esteem, having a weapon in his hands will mean much less than if he didn't have good self-esteem.
Well, you know, thank you very much for the call. You know, I'll say this to you. Let's, to Mr. Williford, I think it is certainly when you bring up one guy killed 33 people with a knife as if that somehow is the rule. It's certainly more than likely that somebody with an automatic weapon is going to mow down, you know, multiple people a lot more readily than somebody with a knife. That's no comparison.
There's no comparison when you leave good people defenseless. I have an honest question for you. Sutherland Springs happened. Who did you want to stop it?
Here's my response.
Here's my response to that.
I believe in law enforcement. Okay. So
I do too.
So let me answer the question. So I believe in law enforcement. So if I'm sitting in a restaurant, I don't want a guy and somebody walks in and they're robbing the place. I don't want Larry Moe and Curly Joe, who have a gun.
Is that who I am?
Larry Moe and Curly Joe, who have a gun.
Is that who I am?
To take matters into their own hands. Because in many instances, them taking matters into their own hands endangers my life even more. So that's my issue. So when you talk about the good guy, any guy who has a gun in his hand and considers themselves to be a good guy, I don't want to be around that. And in this country, I should have a right. If you have a right to own a gun, I should have a right for you and your gun not to infringe in my freedom.
You're pro law enforcement, so am I. We get that out of the way. Okay, do you know what the national average of gunshots fired by law enforcement in a gunfight?
No, why would I know that? I'm an average citizen. Why would I know that?
I do. Average shots fired in a gunfight in law enforcement is 24 shots. You know what the average hit ratio? Because you're talking to Larry Moe.
I don't know. What does it matter?
You're talking to Larry Moe and Curly. Because you call me now, Larry Moe and Curly.
Sir,
you call me a vigilante.
I don't know.
Then I can defend.
I don't know. And what does
average,
it matter?
I do, and it matters because you're not wanting to trust your gun, your life to my gun.
No.
But it's 24 shots fired.
Sir.
Police officers have a hit ratio of 17%. I hit a man six out of six rounds.
Sir.
I hit him six out of six.
Sir, why should I?
And the police were 5 to 7. And the police were 5 to 7 minutes behind me. Are you willing to wait inside a church for 5 to 7 minutes on a cop? Are you willing to, with 100% hit ratio that I did, are you willing to bet your life on them with a 17% hit ratio?
I'm not willing to.
On me with
100%. Sir, I'm not willing to bet my life on you, a person I do not know. And rely
and
on
you
to save
officer?
My life. That's
and
reality.
And you know the police officer. And you know the police officer.
I just told you.
Do you know the police officer?
I don't. I know a law enforcement person that's been trained. every Molarian and Curly has not been trained. And so I don't know you from Adam. I don't know you from Adam. Why would I trust
my life? And you don't know that cop.
Why would I trust
you? Don't know that cop.
I know the cop has been trained. And they
have a 17% head ratio. They have a 17%
York City. I gotta go to break.
There was a guy that took a line.
So do you want to hang on or I gotta go to break. All right, hang on.
I'm hanging.
I'll see you guys on the phone line. I'll come to you on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Stephen Willefort of the Gun Owners of America. Let's go to the phone lines. Dave, quickly, you have a question or comment for Mr. Willefort.
Yes, Earl, thank you for this topic. I do have a question for your guest. I'm recalling the Highland Park 4th of July shooting where a sniper picked off people from a roof. Can your guest recommend a firearm that would have protected me from a surprise shooting like that? He's saying that if those victims would have been carrying their, AR-14s or whatever, they may have survived. But I don't see how that's possible.
Mr.
Can you recommend a gun that I should have to protect me from being a first victim from a sniper on the roof?
Mr. Willefort?
Again, I have no answer for that, but I will tell you, if that sniper hits the ground, then you have a fighting chance. And I'm going to tell you that you can't prevent that sniper anyway. Ask the people in France when AK-47s were used in the rock and roll concert. How about in the train in France where a guy broke out an AK-47, started murdering defenseless people? How about so many other issues?
Sir, don't you understand that's the issue? These people have those weapons. They're gun owners.
They do. Wow, and you can't even stop that. The criminals, where it is illegal to own anything.
Do you know how many times licensed gun owners have killed people? Have gone rogue?
Okay. It's usually not that.
Hold on, Stephen, I'm gonna take my next caller. Who do we have up next?
Oh yeah, Bill from Oconomowoc.
Hey Bill, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I want to talk to Curly and his ignorance. Curly said, and I quote, 17% of the time cops hit their target. These are trained professionals. These goofballs with a 3-hour concealed carry permit don't know a firefight from a firefighter. They don't know hard targets from soft targets. They don't understand muzzle velocity. They don't understand how to engage somebody with a pistol. These are cowboys that have zero training, that the gun empowers them. You want to empower something? I don't even teach shooting. Come up against my shepherd when you've got a gun, and he'll tell me you got a gun before you pull it out. He will tell me that. And heaven help you if he puts a stare on you and growls. All this cowboy nonsense about protecting people. I spoke to our common council in Oconomowoc. They said, and I quote, oh, we're going to allow concealed carry in the library. I spoke to the common council. I said, before you do that, you better ask the citizens of Oconomowoc if a life and death issue like that is necessary. I talked to concealed carry people. If you want to have credibility, get get weeks, or not even weeks, a month of training every year, and have a license and have a permit and be insured, then you've got credibility. You have zero credibility. You've proved it. California has some of the strictest gun laws, yet the least amount of shootings. Look at Texas. Look at the red states. The red states are where gunfire is out of control. And to carry a weapon, I don't carry a weapon, but yet on my truck, I have enough weapons to be take on a small army. I don't think of it that way. I don't use them for that reason. Why? Because I don't have enough training to kill a man. You believe you can take a man's life because you've got a judgment, because you saw you got a permit. You got it. You're embarrassing yourself. You're just embarrassing yourself with your lack of knowledge. Because I didn't hear you talk about firefights. I didn't talk about collateral damage. Or how about Quantico? Have you ever been to Quantico?
Hey, Bill, let's let him respond. Go ahead, Stephen.
Okay, first off, you call me ignorant about firefights. I was in a firefight. I hit the shooter 6 out of 6 rounds. He had on class 3 body armor. I'm telling you that us rednecks, or whatever you want to call us, are the ones that take our own guns and go out to the range and practice constantly. I'm telling you the police go out and qualify once a year. New York City, years and years ago, a shooter went in after being fired and shot and killed his boss in the Empire State Building. When he walked out onto the street, 9 innocent bystanders were shot by the police department. He never fired another round.
Sir, do you know how you sound saying that we should trust you? Sir, do you know how you sound saying we should trust you guys over law enforcement?
A police officer chased a murderer that murdered his mother into the Trader Joe's, and he shot a 19-year-old woman that worked at Trader Joe's and killed her dead. I'm telling you, I shot a man. You're saying that I'm ignorant of gunfights? I shot a man 6 out of 6 rounds. There was no collateral damage.
Sir, do you know what you sound like when you say as if you are a better shot than law enforcement? And so when you make that's what you have said, sir. You have stated that.
I competed against police officers.
Listen,
and won their trophy.
None of us know that, and none of us know Stephen Williford, and none of us are going to put our lives, and none of us are going to put our lives in Stephen Williford's hands before we do a trained law enforcement officer. And that's at the root of what we're talking about.
You've already called me Larry Merlin Curley. You've already said that I'm a vigilante. You insult me, and I don't even know why I'm talking to you, because the truth is not in you.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's bring Chad on quickly. Chad?
Hey, how's it going? Well, I'd trust my life with Steven over having to wait for the police. The last time I called 911, there was a guy with a gun. I was busy because of police cuts, and then they called me back 10 minutes later. It would have been too late. I'm a proud MRA member. I get the First Freedom magazine every month. There's 7-8 stories legitimate how people, citizens, defend themselves with guns. I mean, it's a right. You can carry it. If you don't want to carry it, that's fine, but let the people that want to carry it and defend themselves. Bar owner in Milwaukee had no first place. 2 armed guys came in. He shot him dead. He got cleared. His life might have been saved because he had the gun. The only thing that stops the gun is the gun, Earl.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Thank everybody who made the show go. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Connor. I retain my composure. Aren't you proud of me?
I'm proud of you, Earl.
Because if ever there was a time I could have blew a gasket, it's today. But I didn't. Thank everybody who listened. Thank everybody who took the time out. I'll be back on tomorrow. It's Friday. It means Friday. We're going to have Governor Tony Evers on in the 9 o'clock hour. See you later.